VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been engaged in a series of topics on Crosstalk dealing with the escalating war. I mean, in recent days, we discussed the war on the Second Amendment, the war on the farmer last week, also the war on moral values. Today, we're discussing the war on marriage. Even in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court discovering a constitutional right to so-called same-sex marriage in their released Obergefell decision, that was June 26, 2015, Congress is now looking to enshrine this as a legislative act to codify the same-sex marriage. And, folks, it goes well beyond two men marrying each other or two women marrying each other. And we're going to be breaking that down today. Our guest, Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Matt is a constitutional attorney. He's got three landmark cases before the U.S. Supreme Court that have ruled in his favor. He is an author. He is a host of the radio broadcast Faith and Freedom and Freedom's Call. Matt, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be with you.
Before we get into our main topics for today, Matt, yesterday, 9/11, a day that will forever live in infamy as it marked 21 years since Islamic terrorists attacked our nation. We must be sure that this never, never, ever leaves our memory. Your comments on this?
Well, indeed. My wife and I flew yesterday from California back to Orlando after speaking there on 9/11. And just thinking about that day back in 9/11 where these people got on an airplane in the morning and they never had any idea what was going to be their fate that day. It is a sobering thought. And then when I remember, all of us do, seeing what happened on those images with the Twin Towers and coming down and then the Pentagon being hit and then hearing about the airplane crashing in Pennsylvania, it is a sobering thought that this terrorism had actually come to the shores of the United States of America, to the mainland. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the mainland had never been attacked like that before, other than, you know, what we faced during the Revolutionary War. But the United States of America had never been attacked like that on the mainland. We had that in Pearl Harbor. But that was a sobering thought that we really begin to see the threat that this radical Islamic agenda held by some dissidents across the world globe to literally destroy those that don't comply with its ideology is quite concerning, and we need to be very vigilant. Mm-hmm. We responded in some ways to those attacks, but unfortunately some of those laws that came out of those attacks, like the Patriot Act, have now been used against law-abiding American citizens. So we have to protect that freedom. We have to, you know, be vigilant against terrorism, remember those who lost their lives on that horrible day and their family and the first responders especially that ran to the danger rather than away from the danger. But we also need to make sure that our response to that danger and to those threats do not undermine our own basic liberties. While we're trying to maintain security, we can't lose our freedom in the process.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we remember this day, And certainly, as time goes by, we continue to realize its impact. And I know, Matt, that as you are concerned for our First Amendment liberties, we must never sacrifice those on the sake of even security of our land. That individual freedom is so important.
Absolutely, our individual freedom is so important. We've seen that obviously being threatened more so than any other time in our life. Yeah. With regards to all these COVID mandates and all the other lockdowns and then the individual COVID shot mandates, that's a serious threat to freedom. The ability to be able to travel, to work, to go to school, all of that's been threatened, even to worship.
Indeed. Well, Matt, one additional critical matter that's right before us right now, and that is the Biden administration is really launching a direct assault on girls in particular under the auspices of changing Title IX to see that the word sex would be redefined to also include sexual orientation and gender identity. And we bring this up because today, here, September the 12th is the deadline for public comment. Matt, this, in my opinion, is a very extreme measure by the Biden administration that's even spoken of denying school lunch funding to schools who refuse to lie to their pupils about biology and sex. I mean, wanting to force schools into promoting that a boy can be a girl and a girl can be a boy. Your comments on this Title IX matter?
Well, yes, it's really important. And in fact, public comments to this Title IX, which involves girls' sports, basically, is what it involves. And it requires that they have equal opportunity. But what Biden wants to do is use that to say that this applies to anyone who thinks they're a girl, anyone who wants to identify as a girl, which actually undermines girls' sports and girls' opportunities, because what we've seen are men entering into these girls' sports and dominating. They can't dominate in the men's sports, and they jump over to the women's sports, and they dominate in those sports and break records and so forth. So it deprives women of their opportunities. We just received a report that the public responses so far from people opposing Biden's idea of, you know, distorting Title IX is overwhelming. They're getting overwhelming responses against the Title IX change. So the momentum is going, and I encourage people to get their comments in today.
As a matter of fact, folks, we did mention this most recently on our September 2nd Crosstalk. And on the write-up on that page at crosstalkamerica.com, we do have a direct link to file comments concerning the Title IX at crosstalkamerica.com. But those comments are due today. I saw the Daily Signal point out recently that all of a sudden there was 160,000 missing public comments. They say, well, this was a clerical error that took place. A lot of foolishness going on, Matt, but the important thing is that individual voices around this country are very important, and today is that final day to speak out on it.
Absolutely. I mean, it stirred up a lot of controversy and a lot of response. So be part of that overwhelming wave, because they're now receiving, as I mentioned, a record number of public comments from parents and many others who are concerned about children's safety in schools, you know, whether men can come in or boys can go into women's and girls' private showers, locker rooms, restrooms, and so forth, and whether they can participate in sports. So this is a big issue that would be very transformative for schools all across the country, public and private. So make your voice heard.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. Matt, since the Dobbs decision was released in late June overturning Roe v. Wade, there's been a concerted effort by Congress to codify so-called same-sex marriage in our federal statutes. It's under the legislative form H.R. 8404. Folks, you can write that down. That's H.R. 8404. And there has been some indication from various pro-family groups that they might actually try to attach this to a continuing resolution that is or some other must-pass legislation. So we're going to have you kind of take this from square one again, because you were with us the end of July talking about this. That was right after 47 Republican House members abandoned their party platform, voted along with the Democrats to pass this 267 to 157 in the House. So break this down for us. What exactly would H.R. 8404 do?
Well, let's talk about what it does, and then we can talk about the process here. So H.R. 8404, also misnamed the Respect for Marriage Act, frankly, is a disrespect and for marriage, and it will destroy marriage. It will do this, and I'll just go down through the list. First of all, it makes same-sex marriage a federal law. And that means when this 5-4 opinion of Obergefell coming from 2015 is overturned, and mark my word, it will be overturned at some point in the future. Its demise is going to not be very long-lived like the abortion decision. It has no foundation in the Constitution, nor did abortion. Its days are numbered as well. So when that is overturned, this will continue to have imposing same-sex marriage across the country. And that alone should be enough to wake up people not to vote for it. But that's number one. Number two, it forces government employees to comply and does not provide any conscience or religious exemption for anyone or any entity. It overrides all religious conscience objections, even in states like Kentucky that passed a conscientious religious objection for clerks that wanted to not issue same-sex marriage licenses. And here's a big one. It removes state sovereignty and requires states to recognize another state's marriage law, even if it's contrary to its own state marriage law. And that goes far beyond same-sex marriage. Certainly it applies to same-sex marriage, but you don't need that having one state recognize another state if you already say, as a federal matter, it's the law of the land. So what is it designed to do? It's designed to allow one state to impose its marriage laws on the rest of the states and require the other states to abide by and give legal recognition to its state law. So let's look at several examples. California is one of the few states in the nation that have no age limit on marriage. So you could marry someone who's 12, 10 years old. And what we see out of California is a shocking number of what's called child bride marriages. These are situations where people are pedophiles. They abuse these girls. Now it will apply to boys under this particular H.R. 8404, abuse girls, and then eventually get them pregnant and then marry. And also it applies to some of these cults. There's a number of cults out there, polygamous cults, that are forcing these little girls to go into marriages at very, very young ages. So when a little girl goes into a marriage and she's a minor, she's still treated as a minor. So she can't file for divorce even with the abuse that continues. She can't run away because she's considered a minor. If she did run away and you housed her for protection, you are a criminal accomplice to a fugitive minor, and so you can be prosecuted. They can't sign for an apartment. They can't sign a contract because they're still treated as a minor, even though they're, quote, married. So the sexual abuse continues until they reach the age of 18. They can't run away, and you can't harbor them because they are a minor. And there's so many awful stories, Jim, about what's happening with these, what we call child bride marriages. And for example, Florida had one of these laws like California, and one of these girls that was in a child bride marriage ultimately was able to eventually escape that marriage when she reached the age of majority and she became an adult. And she lobbied the Florida legislature, and now there's an age limit for these marriages in Florida. Florida would be overridden by California if H.R. 8404 passed. Let me just give one other example. There are some states that allow what we call incestuous marriages. Very few would recognize incestuous marriages, but that would be a brother marrying a sister or a mother marrying a son or something of that nature. Most states say, no, you can't do that. But there are some states that allow it, and that would force it on everyone else. Finally, here's the other thing. It opens the door for polygamy. And he said, now, well, wait a minute, where's polygamy in here? Polygamy is, for several reasons, part of this bill. And some people will push back when we said that. But up until last week, you know, what we have said is proven to be true. Senators Tammy Baldwin from your state in Wisconsin, a Democrat, and Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, they're trying to get additional votes to come on. All they need is six more Republican votes in the Senate to pass this bill and its law, because it'll go to the Biden, he'll sign it. They've now admitted there's a, quote, drafting error regarding polygamy. We'll pick it up after the break.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk. This is critically important because it is the rumor mill has it that even this very month, this month of September, that your U.S. senator is going to be voting on this so-called Respect for Marriage Act. More information to follow. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does the camel store its water in its hump?
No, Chris. The camel does not store water in its hump, but it uses that hump to store fat from which it draws energy when it goes for long stretches without food or water. Actually, there are many specific design characteristics about a camel. It has extra long eyelashes to protect its eyes from wind in the desert. It has the ability to close up its nostrils to protect its lungs, and wide pads on its feet, which make walking on sand easier. Its thick coat of hair protects it from extreme temperatures. It has lots of physiological abilities which are moderated when it has to go without water. The camel has played a very important role in human history. In many ways, it's an obnoxious creature, but it's a marvel of God's design. He created all land animals on day 6 of creation week. back in Genesis.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, the War on Marriage, our topic today. Matt Staver is with us from Liberty Counsel, their website, lc.org, lc.org. And yes, as mentioned, we're talking about this war on marriage that is taking place and a very dangerous piece of legislation, H.R. 8404. 8404 is legislation that would codify a so-called same-sex marriage, plus much more. As Matt stated, not only will it make same-sex marriage a federal law, but it would force government employees to comply and override all religious or conscientious objections. It would remove state sovereignty. So what one state allows for, every state would have to comply with this. It's dangerous in many different forms, even goes further than what the Obergefell decision goes. Matt, as that breaking upon us, you were just getting into this aspect of polygamy, because there have been some states that have been looking at having more than two involved in the marriage relationship. We even hear the term thruples being used today. But polygamy is something that's out there. So bring that angle into it as well. Would a state that allows for polygamy, would that override every other state?
It would. Now, here's where we are with the states. No state currently allows polygamy, but let's look at Utah as an example, and let's look at some other options about how this could ultimately export polygamy. And, in fact, now we have both a Democrat and a Republican senator in admitting that they need to, quote, amend this bill because of a, quote, drafting error, close quote. That's their words regarding polygamy. Let me say, this was no drafting error. It was intentional. The ultimate goal of those individuals that are drafting this and that are in this agenda here is to literally deconstruct marriage so that gender no longer is relevant for marriage. And that so it's not just same-sex marriage. That's the beginning of it. Gender not being relevant to marriage, therefore gender is not relevant to anything else, and that's the extension of it, and that is gets you into your pronouns and your transgender, and I think, therefore, I am, so to speak, kind of what we just talked about with Title IX. You want to identify as a woman, then we'll legally treat you as a woman under the law. But beyond that, it's also, why limit it to two people? Why just have a marriage between two people? Let's just open it up for anything goes. Let's have one spouse. You could have one man, for example, with many spouses, and we already have that in some of these states that are operating with this de facto polygamy. Or let's have what you call a mixed polyamory. So you could have, say, five males and five females, as an example, all married together. And so it is group marriage. That's being practiced by some in the United States. It's not legal, but they are practicing it. Let's look at Utah. Utah is the only state right now that doesn't criminalize polygamy. And what they did was they haven't had a prosecution even under the criminal laws for the past 49 years. 49 years. And what we see in Utah is not the Mormon Church as we know it today, but some of the early breakoffs from the Mormon Church still believe in and de facto practice polygamy. Again, it's not the what you normally think of as the Mormon Church, but there are certain factions that broke off, and they believe that the current Mormon Church is wrong on this issue of marriage, and consequently they are de facto practicing it. That's going on in Utah. There hasn't been a prosecution in 49 years. What we also know is that Utah decriminalized polygamy and dropped it down to the level of a traffic fine. So you can be fined in Utah up to no more than $750 for violating the polygamy, you know, provision. And perhaps the worst case scenario would be $750 in some community service. Otherwise, it's a traffic fine of just a few hundred dollars or nothing at all. So one person under this particular bill, because what the bill does is it says that it's between 2, the number, I'll put down quotes, between quote 2, the number 2, people, close quote. Now, that's a very odd, frankly, grammatical error. Why does it have the letter 2? Usually when you're doing grammatical constructions, you would have 1 through 9 spelled out, and then we get to 10, you could use the number, 10, 11, 12, 13. It doesn't have 2, T-W-O, parentheses, close, parentheses, 2. It has just the letter or the number 2. Mm-hmm. It's very odd. It doesn't use the word only 2. So here's what caught our attention, and this is what they're now pawning off as a, quote, drafting error. Someone under this particular bill, say you're in California as an example, could marry somebody in California. That same person could go to Utah and marry somebody in Utah. And they may or may not represent what their relationship is previous. They may say that they're not married, but now they've entered into two marriages. Now that same individual, they all move to a third state, and they want that third state to recognize each one of these marriages. Under this law, that third state, even though it bans polygamy, would have to recognize both of those marriages, because what this law does is override states' rights. As we said before, if you have an age limit and someone gets married in California and comes to your state and they've married a 12-year-old girl, even though your state says, no, 12-year-old's not going to be recognized, you have to recognize it under this law. Even if your state doesn't allow incestuous marriage, but you get married in a state that allows incestuous marriage, and they want your state to now recognize it, up until now, your state could say, no, that violates our marriage policy. Under H.R. 8404, you would have to comply, and even though it's against your marriage policy, you still have to recognize it. Now somebody enters into one of these arrangements like I just mentioned, and or they go to Utah and marry more than one person in Utah. One is, quote, legal. The other one, you just get a little slap on the wrist, but it doesn't get undone. Now they come to your state, and they want your state to recognize it. Well, your state doesn't recognize polygamy, just like it doesn't recognize underage marriages or incestuous marriages. Too bad. Under H.R. 8404, you're going to have to recognize it. And that's what this law does. So it opens the door for polygamy, polyamory, which is group marriage, child bride marriages, which is a male and female or opposite sex, but also same sex, incestuous marriages, or anything any state, territory, or get this, possession of the United States, whatever that is, says they recognize. Whatever a possession of the United States is, it's obviously not a state, mm-hmm. It's not a territory. It's some other thing that the United States possesses. I don't know. Is that an embassy someplace in some foreign country? I don't know. But if you have one of those categories recognizing any kind of thing, relationship, calling it marriage, then that gets exported to all the other states, territories, and possessions of the United States of America.
Well, Matt, this passed with lightning speed through the House of Representatives, the H.R. 8404, and that vote was 267 to 157. Some 47 Republican House members just ran away from the party platform on this. Did that shock you to see so many that would join and destroy marriage?
Yeah, Jim, it really did shock me that there would be that many. I mean, we've got there's a very strong platform of the Republican Party on this issue, and what these Republicans did is clearly walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And all these Republicans, when they got elected, they would have said that they abided by and they support the Republican Party platform on marriage. And that platform goes back to 2016. It's one of the strongest pro-family religious freedom platforms ever of any party, Republican or Democrat or any other party. And they just clearly walked away from it. But, you know, for them to vote for this is absolutely stunning, that they don't have a clue about how fragile the 2015 Obergefell decision is and how problematic and dangerous adopting this as a federal law would be. We do know from our staff in Washington, D.C., that a number of these 47 Republicans that voted in favor, they now regret their decision. Why do they regret it? Well, some of them said, well, they didn't have enough time to understand what was in the bill. Well, it's only 3.5 pages. It's not some, you know, multi-thousand page bill. Well, okay. But you know why I think they really regret it? Is because people started speaking out and they realized, oh my goodness, our constituency doesn't like it.
When I look at the party platform from 2020, which you say was a mirror of 2016, because in 2020 they said we're adopting the 2016 platform, and I'm looking at page 11 of that platform, traditional marriage and family based on marriage between one man and one woman is the foundation for a free society and has for millennia been entrusted with rearing children. It goes on from there, but they identify right in that platform one man, one woman marriage.
Yeah, they do. It's a very strong platform. In fact, this platform is really an idyllic platform on so many different levels. Mm-hmm. It supports the Defense of Marriage Act. It opposes the 2015 Obergefell decision. It supports marriage only as the union of one man and one woman. Very strong on all these different issues. It's opposed to the Title IX revision and the, you know, I think, therefore I am kind of mantra that you can think and therefore be somebody that you're not. It's a very strong platform. These individuals walked away from, but they also walked away from common sense and they walked away from their constituency. Mm-hmm. And so when the constituency started to get activated and others, we and others, you, began to let them know, now they begin to hear from the constituency, so they regret it. Many of them regret it. If they had that vote again today, it wouldn't be 47. I don't know how many it would be, but it would be a very, very small number, if any. That's why it's important now that it's in the Senate, that they don't make the same mistake, because if they make the mistake now, we're done. I mean, this law, this bill becomes, you know, right onto Biden's desk, and it'll be signed.
Yeah.
This is a high priority of Senator Chuck Schumer, Democrat from New York. He said last Wednesday that he promised this bill will come up for a vote this month. They have two major bills this month. One is the continuing resolution or the budget bill that they have to pass by the end of this month, September 30, in order to continue the government still operating. And two, the other bill is this one right here. These are the must-pass bills. These are the highest priority for the Democratic Party, Schumer, and a couple of Republicans, which would include Senator Susan Collins from Maine and also Murkowski from Alaska. There are four Republicans that already have signed on. So in other words, they have 54 votes right now for this bill. They need six more Republicans to sign on and vote for it, and that would give them their 60-vote filibuster-proof. And that would then allow this bill to be passed. They only need six more Republicans, and so far, 15 to 16, depending upon where you count Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, 16 individual Republicans have not publicly said no to this bill. And some of them have made some disturbing comments about it that they really need to hear from the people who are listening to this program.
Let's take a quick break, folks. Be ready to jot down a telephone number when we come back from the break. We'll tell you how you can be in contact with your United States senators. You have two in your state, and we'll be providing you a number there to the Capitol switchboard. Our phone number to Crosstalk will be opening up later in the next segment, so be ready to formulate your questions as well. Matt Staver with us today. We're talking about the war on marriage. We'll be right back.
The rise of fentanyl overdose deaths is skyrocketing and has been the leading cause of death in adults ages 18 to 45. Street drugs have been laced with it, creating new lines of counterfeit pills. Fentanyl is 50 times stronger than heroin and 100 times stronger than morphine. Sadly, many looking for their next high are experimenting with fentanyl and losing their life as a result. Addressing the issue from a biblical perspective is Mark Shaw, founder of the Addiction Connection. In his 33-page booklet, Fentanyl, Mark examines many topics including pain management, what God says about drugs, why people are overdosing, and hope and answers from God's perspective. He addresses issues of the heart which lead many to addiction. The booklet Fentanyl is available for a donation of $6 or three copies for $15. Call VCY at 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Friends, I'm looking at a ABC News story. This is not Liberty Council. It's ABC News. Senate Schumer says Senate will vote on bill to codify same-sex marriage. Democrats are seeking 10 Republican votes to pass a standalone bill. And a mention, quoting Chuck Schumer, saying last week Wednesday that it would be happening within the coming weeks. A lot of indication that this is happening during the month of September. Matt, there is also something, as you mentioned, the continuing resolution. It's we're supposed to be passing a budget, but they keep passing these resolutions to continue funding the federal government. And they every time they pass one of these, they add on all kinds of horrible legislation. And there have been some that have been speculating that this would be added on to the continuing resolution. Some pro-family groups are saying that. What say you?
That's exactly right. We're monitoring that very closely because that would be very concerning for a budget bill or a continuing resolution to fund the government. That is not subject to the filibuster 60-vote rule. It is only simple majority, and they already have a simple majority. Even without Kamala Harris breaking the tie, they have all the Democrats, which is 50, and they have four Republicans. Collins and Murkowski are just two of those individuals, and they're really trying to push this. So they already have 51. The real issue is whether this could pass a parliamentarian that would actually allow this to be part of the budget in order to be attached to a budget. It has to be a spending bill. And this doesn't seem to have any spending component to it. But that doesn't mean that we can rest here. We have to really monitor it, and we would also have to have the Republicans object to this kind of thing added on to a continuing or budget resolution. Either way, it's a very serious issue to watch because, again, that only requires 51 votes. They already have the 51 votes. The real issue is, will they be able to put it on the budget? We're going to continue to monitor that, and we have to vigorously oppose it because it has no business being attached to a budget bill.
I see retiring Senator Rob Portman of Ohio has given his support for this as well.
The other one.
Yeah, and you mentioned Ron Johnson. He's just trying to walk walk the fence here on this issue, isn't he?
You know, Ron Johnson originally came out and said that he doesn't see any reason to vote against this bill, and we have been working with his office and with Senator Johnson, and many people have been contacting his office. And then he came back, and he actually used some of the talking points that we did, and that is, one, it doesn't have any – it would override religious freedom. So for cases like, you know, Kim Davis, we represented her in Kentucky. The legislature overwhelmingly, unanimously passed a religious liberty accommodation provision for clerks to opt out. This law would override that for Kim Davis and anyone else. There's no religious liberty protection at all. So now he started saying, well, there's no religious liberty protection, so he would oppose it. And he also said that it would open the door, as we pointed out, to polygamy. Then, just a few days ago, I believe last week, he did an interview with Hugh Hewitt, and I'm very disappointed in Hugh Hewitt. He's in favor of this bill. He just has given up on same-sex marriage, which is a wrong thing to do. And he was interviewing Senator Ron Johnson, and Ron Johnson kind of waffled back and forth, and he still raised the concern about the lack of religious freedom protection in this bill. So right now, he appears to be a no. He's not going to vote on it. However, last week Wednesday, Senators Tammy Baldwin and Susan Collins, a Democrat and Republican, said that they were going to do two things to bring on more Republican votes. They were going to propose an amendment that would add a religious accommodation provision, which would take away some people's objection, like Senator Ron Johnson, and they were going to fix a, quote, drafting error with regards to polygamy. Now, whether those will actually be done, I don't know. But they're intent on getting six more Republicans, and that's what their goal is. Frankly, I think adding a religious exemption doesn't solve the problem. I question whether or not Democrats are going to be able to do that, because groups like Human Rights Campaign and others, they have said several years ago, no more religious liberty or accommodation exemptions. We're done with it. We oppose anything with a religious accommodation request. So if that is actually added, I think it could split the constituency of the Democrats, like Human Rights Campaign and others, that are pushing hard for this bill, because they don't want a religious accommodation provision whatsoever.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. It's a very touch-and-go situation. We only have a few weeks left in this month before they go on their October break for the midterms, and they have to pass the continuing budget. And this is a top priority. So it is a big, big issue. Time is short.
Well, Ron Johnson's on the fence on this issue. He's been very strong on a number of issues. And on this issue, he has been waffling back and forth. And I do want to give out his telephone number, but then also the Senate switchboard as well. Senator Ron Johnson just does not seem to know which way to go on this. And folks, you can let your views be made known to him by calling this number. His direct office number is 202-224-5323, 202-224-5323. In addition, your two U.S. senators can be reached through the Senate switchboard at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121, and you can just call, ask for your senators by name. If you want their direct numbers for all 100 senators, you go to senate.gov, and you'll be able to find that. Click on senators, and then your senators' phone numbers are there in alphabetical order. Senate.gov, or by calling 202-224-3121. And Matt, it really doesn't matter if somebody has a D or an R behind their name. Every senator needs to hear from listeners to this program.
Absolutely. Whether they're Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter what they are. Everyone needs to hear from you. And so even though you may have a senator that you just think is hopeless, they need to hear from you. And you need to call that person all over the country, wherever you are, and call more than, you know, call them. Let them know and continue to pressure them. We also have a petition and faxes that you can send, but you've got to raise your voice. Time is of the essence. Don't think someone else is going to do it for you. You've got to do it yourself.
Matt, where are those petitions and faxes available?
They can go to lc.org, and there's going to be faxes right there on the front page. They can also go to lcaction.org, and there's lots of information there with regards to these issues, and each one of them contain both a petition and facts. So lcaction.org and lc.org, right there on the front page.
Friends, our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Your questions on this or brief comments, 800-733-9829. Seeking to codify and go beyond the Obergefell decision from the U.S. Supreme Court, and even bring about that which would pave the way for polygamy, polyamory, child-bride relationships, and make your state comply with these. It's outrageous, folks, what they're seeking to do to marriage. And it is a total destruction of what marriage is and how it's been defined for millennia. Again, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Matt, I do want to point out that the Human Rights Campaign, the extremist pro-LGBT organizations, they're doing quite a campaign right now to have same-sex couples share wedding photos and talk about that. And I've got a copy of their form, the date and location of your wedding. Was it important for you to get married? How would you feel if marriage equality was overturned? Are you willing to talk to reporters about this issue? They are in a massive campaign, not only to have all of these stories told so newspapers and news sites will publish photos and how this will, if, you know, unless we do this, it's going to destroy these relationships and really pull at the heartstrings of America, so to speak. They are on a very aggressive campaign to see that this is done.
No question. They're having a very aggressive campaign, and they've also elicited some of these corporations. So the corporations now are getting involved, and they're pressuring members of the Senate to pass this bill as well. So HRC is very influential on this issue, and they're eliciting other support from lots of corporations that want to make sure that they maintain 100%, you know, rating from HRC, which means these big mega corporations, many of them are going to be contacting, they already have contacted members of the Senate to ask them to vote in favor of H.R. 8404. So that's why it's so important for our voices to also be heard.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Wow, these U.S. House representatives voting for this thing?
Yep.
Respect for marriage? What a name. Voted for it, but now they regret it. Oh, well, I guess that makes it okay then.
Mm.
You know, come on. What are you doing voting for this pig? What are you doing voting for a bill that some of you never even read?
Yeah.
What's going on? I wonder what the commie left has on these people. And as for Ron Johnson, I don't understand what's so hard about this. This guy's been a conservative from the beginning to end. I don't know what's going on here. I get sick of hearing about wobbly Republicans, waffling Republicans, caving Republicans. Hey, Ron, don't be that guy. Vote no.
Thank you, Brad, for
your
thoughts. Appreciate that. Again, Ron Johnson's number, Senator Johnson, 202-224-5323. Matt, when I mentions about not reading the bill, this thing is only a few pages long. I mean, it didn't take a rocket science. It's not one of those 800-page bills, you know, that they have to wade through. This is very, you know, small and forthright. It's about 3.5 pages, actually.
Yeah, it's about 3.5 pages, and two words ought to raise your attention and say, no, I don't want to read any further on this. The word same-sex and then that combined with marriage. That alone should, as the previous caller, you know, clearly articulated, that alone should wake people up and say, I don't want anything to do with this bill. No, I'm not going to do it. But even going beyond it and reading some of the intricacies and say, oh, my goodness, you know, and then thinking about how this is going to impact beyond same-sex marriage, other states, that it requires these states to go way beyond same-sex marriage to recognize a marriage of another state. Well, let's just think outside of what our state does. Oh, let's look at California, the serious child bride issues.
Yep.
And there's a couple of other states that do that as well. And start reading some of those stories. Man, those stories are terrible. Very awful. Then you start reading some of the polygamous stories, and they're awful as well.
Yeah, yeah. Matt, I want to point out something else here before the break, and that is when this was put into the Senate, July 20th, 2022, it was received, read the first time. They didn't send this to a committee, which then sent it to a subcommittee. They immediately put this thing on the calendar. It's got calendar number 449 on it. It's all set, ready to go, so at a moment's notice, they can bring this forth without any hearings having taken place.
That's exactly right. And they don't want any education about this. They don't want any information about it. They just want to be able to bring it forth whenever they can do it, which means they can even bring it forth. So, for example, if you have a vote, and here's the other thing, by the way, you have a vote for the bill on the continuing resolution, even if they don't attach it to the continuing resolution. Once you already get into that situation where you're doing a 51 vote majority, and you pass the continuing resolution, but the gavel hasn't come down, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning to close the session for that day, then people start to trickle out, and there's a handful of Democrats or a couple of Republicans on the floor. We have to watch that they don't bring it up to try to just get it passed with those people that are left.
Right, and only certain people with knowledge would know that would take place. Friends, we're going to take a quick break. Our lines are packed, so we'll come back to your phone calls and also give you the phone number for your two U.S. senators after the break. This is Crosstalk coming your way from VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Over the last 2 years, I have had the privilege of interviewing three men that were all prisoners of war at what they called the Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam. All of these men went under incredible torture and persecution. Why? Because they refused to comply with the communists. They refused to write propaganda. They refused to go on camera and give propaganda. They refused to cooperate with the communists. They resisted. How many of us in America today are cooperating with the communist, either by self-censorship, what we're not willing to say anymore, or by literally turning over our treasured institutions to them? Americans must learn from the prisoners of war of the Vietnam War that resisted and were involved in leadership, communication, organization, and resistance.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and folks, the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has promised within weeks, this was last week, this month, to vote on H.R. 8404, which would codify same-sex marriage and so much more across this land. You can reach out to your two U.S. senators at 202-224-3121. That's the Senate switchboard. Ask for the senators from your state, 202-224-3121. We have Lee calling in from Ohio. Hi, Lee. You're on the air.
Hi. This is I'm a pastor from Ohio, and I absolutely, positively will not unite any of these abhorrent unions together in holy matrimony. I'm not going to do that. And my question is, to keep my wife from living in a cardboard box when they sue me to oblivion, do I need to put everything I own in a trust? What do we do to fight this as pastors?
Good question.
Besides preach against it.
Yeah, good question, Pastor. We have some things that you can adopt as policies just to strengthen any religious freedom objection to this. And that's what we need to do first, is to do that. And so you can contact our office, 407-875-1776, or just send us an email, liberty@lc.org, and we'll get that information to you.
Yeah. You just asked that question, how can we strengthen this, you know, in our church documents? They've got some documents here that will be a help to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call here today. Now, what this pastor is saying is not too far afield, Matt. I know that there is a teacher, a Christian teacher in another country right now, sitting in jail, at least he was last week, for refusing to use an improper pronoun for a child. So, I mean, these things are coming.
Yeah. I mean, you really have to be prepared and protect yourself in the best way you can. And the best way is to be prepared ahead of time, like this pastor's thinking ahead. Don't think that this is never going to happen to you. So many bizarre things, like who would have ever thought that you would have men competing in women's sports?
Yeah.
Who would have ever thought that just because you say you're a woman, you can go take a shower in the woman's locker room?
Look at the surveys happening, the percent of now within the Democratic Party that said men can have babies. I mean, it's outrageous.
Yeah. It's outrageous. Yeah, these are the same people that say that those that oppose them are science deniers.
Christine is next. Go ahead, Christine. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. I just want to thank you. You are a national treasure, and I called Ron's office this morning. I had no idea you'd be talking about this. I already called on this issue. He was on last night on Mark Levin's program. And what's so troubling is that he talked about how our nation is on the precipice, and we most certainly are. And we need to call and to show the emotion in our voice, to tell him how much we appreciate him on other things, but that, you know what, the moral implosion is what is going to take this nation down. And that is like every great civilization on the face of this planet. And we are at the precipice, most certainly. So I'm tired of Christians and their inability and apathy to just make a call or give an email. It's sad. It's heartbreaking.
Thank you, Nat.
No, thank you.
Thank you. You know, we've written some things about J.D. Unwin, and he wrote a book called Sex and Culture. It wasn't something that he thought he was going to conclude, but he looked at 80 nations, and every one of them had the same scenario, and that is when you ultimately have a sexual license before marriage, and then you don't protect the sanctity of marriage, and you have other kinds of things that happen where you redefine it, for example, or you just don't protect the sanctity of marriage, that ultimately results in less than three generations of the total collapse of the culture.
Wow.
And he looked at culture after culture after culture. He was a secular individual, and this is not the result that he anticipated, but he ultimately wrote this. It's a powerful study that goes through 80 nations. and it comes up to the same thing, that the strength of the culture depends upon the commitment to monogamy and the sanctity of marriage. And when you ultimately undermine monogamy and the sanctity of marriage, marriage between a woman and a man, obviously, that directly leads to the collapse of the culture.
Let's get to Fran in Lake Mills. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. First of all, God bless both of you for everything that you do for us. And I have great respect and admiration for both of you for giving us the truth and everything that we need to know as Christians and how to pray and how to fight. And I just wanted to say that my pastor and his wife and two of the men from our church were meeting with Senator Johnson today to talk to him about this very thing.
Very good.
And, Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And, you know, there's a lot of these town hall meetings and so forth going on, and people, you need to be out there and let your voice be heard. Arvid is calling in from Westby, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Arvid.
Thanks for taking my call. I called Ron Johnson's number right away when you gave it. Spoke with Libby, and she said that Senator Johnson last Thursday afternoon said he is opposing this legislation. So I think that's good news.
Well,
that is good news. The only thing about it is he supports civil unions, and the reason why he opposed it was because we pushed the idea, and it clearly is, that there's no religious accommodation. If a religious accommodation comes into being, and this is what Senator Collins and Baldwin want to do, he might change his view. So let's continue to put the information and pressure on Senator Johnson. I appreciate him, but he's got to be right on this issue. This is fundamental.
Yeah, it is fundamental. And if this is a case, you know, Arvid, let his office put forth a press release. You know, let him put to silence those who are speaking on this issue, and just make it put out a press release stating his position.
I hope he does and has. Libby said he did. But I haven't heard it. But
yeah, okay.
You know where to get good news is on this station.
Thanks. Thank you so much for your call. We do appreciate it. And we're out of time to take more calls. Indeed, reaching out to your two U.S. senators, folks, 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Matt, we have 20 seconds. Your final thought here.
Well, this is critical. You know, I don't want to be an alarmist about anything. I'm just going to tell you what's real. And this is the most serious threat to marriage and family and, frankly, to the survival of the culture. And it is very close. I mean, 6 votes away. That's all they have. That's all they need is 6 votes. And that's why it's so critical to hear from you, because time is short.
Indeed. Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel, the website lc.org and lcaction.org. Matt, thanks for all your legwork and information and advocacy, fighting for the family, fighting for for marriage, and fighting for truth.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel. Folks, thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.